the supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day He appointed for a rising. To Thee belongs praise, for Thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst Thou willed, Thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to Thee belongs praise, for Thou created, then proportioned, and ordained, and decreed, and gave death, and bestowed life, and made sick, and healed, and made well, and afflicted, and sat upon the throne, and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate Thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for Thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to Thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to Thee, to be joyful in worshipping Thee, to be desirous of Thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me Thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom Thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum, so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us because we're going to speak about the fault finder in the view of Islam.
إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي يوما بيده ناصيتي يا أليما بذري ومسكنتي يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي.
Today, Tuesday, is the 2nd of Rajab, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Bahman, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of January, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Hujurat, verse 11 of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani r-rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin asa an yakunu khayran minhum wa la nisa'un min nisa'in asa an yakun خيرا منهم ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ.
O you who have believed, let not a people ridicule another people, perhaps they may be better than them. Nor let women ridicule other women, perhaps they may be better than them. And do not insult one another, and do not call each other by offensive nicknames. Wretched is the name of disobedience after one's faith, and whoever does not repent, then it is those who are the wrongdoers.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Merits springing from acting upon Islamic injunctions include providing a healthy environment and impeding social conflicts. It may be said that deriding and belittling, as mentioned in the blessed verse in question, serve as instance of such vices, but it should be borne in mind that uttering any word or committing any act that distorts Muslim brotherhood is forbidden. Thus, addressed to believers, the blessed verse is saying that you who believe should abstain from deriding your believing brethren. You are unaware of their hearts and acts. Those who have subject to your decision may be better than you, believing women are strictly forbidden from deriding other women and casting sarcastic remarks upon them, since they are unaware of their excellence over them. Speaking about the fault finding in the view of Islam, be with us. Allah has clearly prohibited fault finding, and beloved Prophet has condemned the action of finding faults in others and then spreading them amongst people. Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, "The one who seeks the faults of his Muslim brother, Allah Almighty will reveal his faults. And the one whose fault Allah Almighty makes apparent, he shall be disgraced even if he is set at home. It is the law of Allah Almighty that the one who defames another without any reason, Allah shall cause him to be defamed." However, there are a group of people who incessantly try to pick faults in people and are constantly looking to find faults in people and constantly strive to lift the curtains that cover the defects and shortcomings of others. This is one important phrase: negativity consumes a person. The negative feelings that the fault finder harbors regarding others eventually consumes the person, and his negativity eventually becomes part of the fault finder's character. Prophet Muhammad, therefore, advised us to refrain from holding bad opinions of people.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are going to talk about picking faults, and picking faults in others mostly. The effects of speaking bad and criticizing the actions of other people plays a role in the friendship and affinity between two people, such that this closeness is removed from them. The friendship and trust is converted into animosity and sometimes hatred, whereas praising a person for his good deeds and flattering him for his righteous acts results in the roots of friendship being made even stronger. In relation to people who always look at the weakness and faults of other people, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam has said, "Kafa bil mar'i 'ayban an yubsira min an-nas ma ya'mi 'anhu min nafsihi." Sufficient is a person's own defect in himself that he tries to pick and look for faults in other people when he himself has those same faults in himself and does not recognize them. If those who pick faults of others would spend the same energy that they use in looking at the bad in others, and through which they reproach other people and correcting themselves and looking at their own defects and trying to recognize their own souls, imagine what level of happiness they would be able to reach to. It is here that the value and worth of the hadith, which has come to us from one of the leaders of faith, is made clear when it has been said, "Man bahatha an uyub an-nas falyabda' bi nafsihi." The person who busies himself looking into the faults of others should start by looking into the faults of his own self. The greatest defect of such people is that they can never live around people in a community, since they will make known the inner secrets of others, and thus nobody would be safe from being in their company.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
One of the common ways through which people deflect their own shortcomings and do not face up to their own faults is to blame others. The fault we see may well not be in what we are looking at, but rather in our looking. Prophet Isa, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, is reported to have said, "Why do you look at little speck in your brother's eye and forget the blank in your own eye?" Hazrat Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen, peace be upon him, said, "The worst of people is the person who searches for faults in others while being blind to his own faults." Martin Luther King rightly said, "The highest form of maturity is self-inquiry."
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see, is thanks to you.
This is today's special, and how to stop finding faults in others. One way, pick your words wisely. What, how, and when you say something can make all the difference in a conversation. You know what it feels like to be misunderstood, ignored, talked down to, talked over, and talked at. Not good. The tongue and volume in which you are spoken to further impact how you process messages you receive. With simple word choice, your statement can go from a fault-finding one, judgmental or argumentative, to one that sounds conversational or solution-directed. For example, replace should with could. What could you have done? Replace but with and. I appreciate your input, and we have to consider other people's viewpoints. Replace why with what. What do you mean by that? And you can go on.
So the Quran says the reason why these people are so arrogant is because of this issue. Because, you know, they're piling up that wealth. They feel arrogant. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. So this beautiful chapter in the Quran, even though it's so short, it's so brief, but it really talks about a social ill that existed at that time, the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and it exists throughout history. And it exists in every society, in every community. And you see how the Quran uplifted so many people and really brought the light to their hearts. To be humble, to be just. And many, many people, alhamdulillah, throughout history, they have been touched by these verses. Let's read these verses. Let's honor chapters like these. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says in one hadith, if you recite Surah al-Humazah, in your daily prayer, you regularly recite it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do two main things. One, Allah will protect you from poverty and increase your sustenance. Allah will increase your rizq. And remember, rizq, my dear brothers and sisters, sustenance is not just money. It's quality of life. Allah will allow you to really enjoy your life spiritually, with your family, psychologically. There are people who have millions, but they're not enjoying their wealth. Sometimes you may see their families are broken. They're experiencing so much depression, psychological disorders.
Topic was the fault finder in the view of Islam. Inshallah, on the next episode of this program, today's special from IRIB English Radio, we continue to search and find more about this interesting topic. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we meet you soon. And till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah.
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us start the day by contemplating on a brilliant piece of advice from Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, the fifth infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. I admonish you regarding five things. If you are wronged, do not commit wrongdoing to others. If you are betrayed, do not betray anyone. If you're called a liar, do not be furious. If you are praised, do not be jubilant. If you are criticized, do not fret, but think of what it says in criticism. If you find in yourself what is criticized about you, then you are falling down in the eyes of God. When you are furious about the truth, it is much greater calamity than your falling down in the eyes of the people. And if you are opposite of what is said in criticism about you, then it is a merit you acquired without having to tire yourself in obtaining it.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is about the events which precede the advent of the 12th Imam, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. You know, there's many signs and events which have been mentioned in the hadith regarding the manifestation and the reappearance of the 12th Imam. Some of them, of course, are not, you know, valid, or they're not reliable hadith, let's put it that way. A lot of them are, right? This, of course, this is a subject that has to be examined and meticulously investigated in its own place. Right now, this is not the place to do that. But a lot of the hadiths are very instructive, and you know, they teach us a lot about how how we should, you know, act and how we should be before the revolution of the 12th Imam, and you know, what should be our the manner of living before he comes. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There will be a people who will rise from the east to pave the way for al-Mahdi's rule." And this very instructive hadith, first of all, it alludes to the fact that, you know, the 12th Imam, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, he won't come until people pave the way for his reappearance. You know, so his actually, his reappearance is not, we have a, you know, direct role in, you know, his reappearance and his coming. And because until we don't pave the way and prepare the environment and make it suitable to his reappearance, he's not going to come, because then there's no point. He could have, if you know, the situation remains the same or worse than what it was when he went into his occultation, then there would be no point in him coming once again, right? So it's up to us to, you know, pave the way and prepare it. Another important point that we can kind of gather from this beautiful hadith is that the Prophet Muhammad, he mentioned this hadith obviously when he was alive, and he said that these people who will pave the way for you know, the Mahdi's revolution will be a people coming from the east, right? People coming from the east, meaning east to east, farther east than, you know, the Arabian Peninsula, right? So this kind of, you know, is important in the sense that the people who will be, you know, preparing the way for the Mahdi's reappearance are not only, you know, belong to a specific clan or a specific group of people, you know, such as Arabs or even the people from the Arabian Peninsula, right? You know, they will be people who came into the fold of Islam after, you know, the Arabs and, you know, the people who were there in the Arabian Peninsula. So, you know, the Imam's revolution, the people who play a part in it are not specific to a specific race or a specific clan or a specific area. And this is kind of echoed in another hadith from Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, "The companions of Al-Qa'im, the Imam Mahdi, are 313 men from the children of non-Arabs." So this kind of alludes to the same fact. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the revolution of Imam Mahdi in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلي محمد وعجل فرجه.
Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International School. So, today I'm really happy to inform you that again, alhamdulillah, we have some of the students of Sevier International School here with us in this Quranic session. Inshallah, we'll be here with you with another Quranic session. Before we start, I really say salam from the depth of my heart to all our brothers here, and I really welcome you all. Salam, how are you? Fine, Fawad?
Yes, sir.
Hussein, Hassan?
Yes, sir.
Fine?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So today our main topic is Ayah 258 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Yes, Hussein?
Yes.
So, on page 43 of the Quran Kareem, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 258. A very good point is here, we'll mention inshallah, but before we start, brothers and sisters, as you're listening, let's all together once listen to the recitation of this ayah, then we'll be back.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر إلى الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن آتاه الله الملك إذ قال إبراهيم ربي الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأت بها من المغرب فبهت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين.
That was a nice recitation. I loved it. How about you? It was great, yes?
Yes. Nice.
So now we will practice, okay? I will read once. Hussein, Hassan, Fawad, you will practice. You will repeat after me, okay? Listen, okay? And repeat. All right? Then our brothers and sisters also will practice with us. Okay, Fawad, Hassan, and Hussein?
Yes.
Okay, let's go. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ألم تر إلى الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن آتاه الله الملك
ألم تر إلى الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن آتاه الله الملك
أن آتاه الله الملك إذ قال إبراهيم ربي الذي يحيي ويميت
أن آتاه الله الملك إذ قال إبراهيم ربي الذي يحيي ويميت
إذ قال إبراهيم ربي الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت
إذ قال إبراهيم ربي الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا
قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأت بها من المغرب
قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأت بها من المغرب
فأتي بها من المغرب فبهت الذي كفر
فأتي بها من المغرب فبهت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Thank you so much. Allah bless you inshallah. It's a very nice point to mention here in this ayah. Allah Almighty says, have you not regarded him? Have you not seen him who argued with Abraham alayhi salam about his Lord? Allah Almighty talks about Namrud. His name was Namrud, okay? He was a king in the time of Prophet Abraham alayhi salam. He had a great kingdom, okay? And he was so proud of his kingdom, okay? But he was not a faithful person. So he argued with Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam about his Lord, and atahu Allahu al-mulka, because Allah Almighty had given him kingdom. Okay, so when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Idh qala Ibrahimu, my Lord is Rabbi alladhi yuhi wa yumit," Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "My Lord is He who gives life and brings death." Then Namrud, the king, said, "Qala." He replied, "Ana uhi wa umit. I give life and bring death too." Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Indeed, Allah is the one who brings the sun from the east. If you call yourself a lord, a king, the one who has power over the universe, if you think you are such a person, if you think you are the power, if you think, God forbid, you are the God, okay? My God brings the sun from east. If you can do it, bring it from the west." Okay, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "If you are right, bring the sun from the west, not from the east. Change it." فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. Then what happened? Thereat, the faithless person, the faithless one, was dumbfounded. He became confused. What? I can't do it. So if you can't do it, why do you call yourself a lord? So you're not. Okay. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. So, now guys, what does it say? It says, nobody can confront Allah Almighty. Nobody can argue about the power of Allah Almighty. He has the all power, no matter your kafir, your mu'min. You are in the control of Allah Almighty. Allah Almighty has created you. Be careful, okay? Don't be proud of what you have, kingdom you have, you have millions of dollars you have, whatever you have. When you die, nothing is there for you. So don't be proud of these things. Don't think all whatever you have is yours, and whatever you have, you can do whatever power you have, you can do anything. Don't think this way, okay? One day you will fall down. That day, there is Allah. If you believed in Him, He will help you. If you didn't, He will not. So guys, inshallah, Allah Almighty, may Allah Almighty count us among the believers, among the faithful people, and may Allah Almighty protect us from the evils. Inshallah. So, brothers and sisters, about the story of Namrud and Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam at his time, you can refer to the Tafasir book about what really happened. More information about this, I inshallah refer to the Tafasir book. There has been explained a lot about it, okay? Hussein? Fawad? Hassan? Okay? All right?
Yes.
Okay.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
Now we will move on with the Tajweed rules, because it's important about the recitation. Beautifully reciting the Quran is something beautiful, something really nice. It's wajib, okay? وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. We mentioned it in the very beginning sessions. First sessions. Alam tara ila alladhi alam tara ra has you should pronounce it with a heavy sound. Ila alladhi hajja. Do you remember the rule? The mad is maddul lazim. Yes?
Yes.
Hajja. After an alif, after a mad, if we have a mushaddad letter, okay? So the mad is wajib. Like wala dhalin. Like atuhajjunani. That word is the same. Hajja. It means arguing. Confronting. Now, hajja. Six counts, okay? Ibrahim. Pronounce the letter ba with a qalqala, with an echoing sound. Read it, Hussein. Alam tara ila alladhi hajja Ibrahim. Read.
Alam tara ila alladhi hajja Ibrahim.
Mashallah. Sentum. Nice recitation. So, alam tara. Make sure ra is pronounced with a heavy sound. Now, fi rabbihi, there is a fallen ya. You see it? A fallen ya after ha.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that is, you mean, it means you stretch it, this, you stretch the sound, okay? Rabbihi for two counts. It's yam. An atahu allahul mulk. An atahu allahul mulk. You can read it this way because of the hamza. Hamza is a bit difficult. So, anata, make it softer. Anata Allahul Mulk. Or anata, nun sakin plus hamza, it's rule idhar. You don't need to change anything, yes? Just clearly pronounce the letter nun. Anata Allahul Mulk. Atahu Allahu. The word, the letter lam in the word Allah is pronounced heavily, right? Allah.
Yes.
Because there is
dhamma.
A dhamma sound before. The rule says, if there is a dhamma sound or a fatha sound, pronounce the letter lam in the word Allah, heavily with the law sound. Allah, Allah. Anatahu Allahul mulka. Idh qala Ibrahimu rabbiya alladhi. There is no important rule, only the pronunciation of the letter dhal and qaf and ha. Yuhyi wa yumitu. Qala ana. The rule ana. There is a rule, okay, here. Ana. Noon plus alif. There is a sukun on the top of alif. You see it? Huh?
Yes.
There is a circle. An O on the top of alif. What does it say? Listen to the recitation. I'll recite. Once I will recite. I'll join them, okay? Join the word ana with the next word, okay? And once I stop here.
Qala ana uhyi wa umit.
Next one.
Qala ana.
You got the difference?
Yes.
Qala ana uhyi wa umit. Qala ana.
You might have understood, what does it say?
Yes.
It says, when you stop, stretch the sound, pronounce the alif. But when you connect it with the next word, don't read the letter alif. Got it? It's a different sukun, okay? It says, in case of making it sakin, in case of stopping here, stretch the sound. Pronounce the alif. In case of continuing or joining, do not read the letter alif. Okay, we have some examples again. Qawarira, qawarira.
So you can stop here if you want.
You can stop here. Maybe you go out of breath, okay? So you go out of breath, pronounce it. But if you don't, continue without pronouncing the alif. Umid.
Qala Ibrahimu fa inna Allaha ya'ati bish-shamsi min al-mashriqi fa ati biha min al-maghribi fa buhita alladhi kafar.
Ra, when you stop here. So there is no important rule here, okay? Wallahu la yahdi al-qawma al-zalimin. So if you are a tajweed student, okay, tajweed, you're learning tajweed, so it means these things are easy for you, only the important ones we mentioned here. So make sure Fawad, Hassan, and Hussein, you practice well, inshallah, okay? Yes? And brothers and sisters, inshallah, will also practice. If they had any questions, they will let us know. We'll, inshallah, help them. So for the tafsir
and interpretations, please refer to the Tafasir book, inshallah. Hassan Hussein, Fawad, do you have any questions? No?
No, sir.
Fawad, thank you so much for being with us. Hassan Hussein, thank you so much. Thanks, brothers and sisters, for being with us in this session. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International Schools Network. Inshallah, we'll be here with you next session. Stay with us. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi tahirin.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
The Ocean of Dua
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we will be with you with the explanation of Dua ul-Kumail, the commentary of different parts of this Kumail supplication by the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam. We'll be back after you listen to the parts we're going to discuss.
Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rab, As'aluka bihaqqika wa qudsika wa azami sifatika wa asma'ik. أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورا وبخدمتك موصولا وأعمالي عندك مقبولا حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا وحالي في خدمتك
Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, as you were previously with us, you know we have reached this excerpt of the Divine Kumail Supplication, in which the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, says, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabb, My Lord, My Lord, My Lord, As'aluka bihaqqika wa qudsik, I ask you by your truth, by your holiness, wa a'zami sifatika wa asma'ik, and the greatness of your attributes and names. أَن تَجْعَلَ أَوْقَاتِي مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ بِذِكْرِكَ مَعْمُورَةً That you make my times in day and night inhabited by your remembrance. وَبِخِدْمَتِكَ مَوْصُولَةً And joined to your service. وَأَعْمَالِي عِنْدَكَ مَقْبُولَةً And make my acts acceptable to you حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا. So that my acts and my prayers may all be a single litany and my occupation with your service everlasting. In this regard, we started discussing the concept of sincerity as one of the most important conditions and prerequisites of acceptance of our deeds. if we want our deeds to be accepted, وَأَعْمَالِي عِنْدَكَ مَقْبُولَ. If we are asking the Almighty Allah to forgive us, one of the things we need to consider is the concept of sincerity. We started to discuss the concept of sincerity in the love of the Almighty Allah. In the previous episode, we had a look at words of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, where he said, O Allah, you are my earnest hope and fear. With you my love has become accustomed, and to you I have surrendered myself. And to the rope of your obedience I have fastened my fear. O my Lord, my heart is living with your remembrance, and in confiding to you do I cool within myself the agony of fear. In this part of the supplication, dear listeners, Imam alayhi salam ties his desire, his fear, his hope, all of these things all together to Allah, placing all his resolution on him, dedicating to him his earnest hope and fear. This is the practical meaning, the practical aspect of sincerity in love of the Almighty Allah. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is narrated to have said, love Allah wholeheartedly. Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn, Imam Zayn al-Abidin, in one of his supplications says, O Allah, I ask you to fill my heart with the love of you, awe of you, belief in you, faith in you, fear of you, and yearning toward you.
Beseech you by your glory and honor, by your supremely high attributes, and by your names, to cause me to utilize my time day and night in your remembrance by engaging myself in serving you. And to let my deeds be acceptable to you, so much so that all my actions and offerings may be transformed into one continuous and sustained effort. And my life may take the form of constant and perpetual service to you, O my Master, O you upon whom I rely, O you unto whom I express my distress.
Thank you, Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. Feeling the peace all around, seeing things we could never imagine, hearing the sound of rivers flow, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
One of the other things, dear listeners, we have to mention about the importance of sincerity in the love of the Almighty Allah is the point that when the love of Allah and yearning towards Him fills the heart of the servant, there would remain no vacant place in the heart for another love apart that of Allah. Of course, unless if the other love is an extension to His love, and in this case, it would be counted as the love of Allah. It would be counted as a yearning towards Him and nothing and no one else. In his prayer at the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "Send blessings on Muhammad and his progeny. Occupy my heart with the great of your affair, and send love of you to it until I meet you on the day of judgment with blood gushing forth from my jugular vein." Now, when we have a closer look at this statement, we can sense that it implies sincerity and love for Allah. And His love, subhanahu wa ta'ala, becomes the only thing occupying the heart and its only concern which does not part it. This is what we have to mention about the importance of sincerity in the love of the Almighty Allah. Now, Allah the Exalted, on the other hand, loves His servants. And one of the properties of love is jealousy. Regarding the Almighty Allah, we translate the word ghayra into jealousy in English, but it does not have to be misunderstood. So, He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is earnestly concerned about the heart of His servant. And He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, loves His servants to be sincere in His love for Him, and not to love anyone other than Him, and not to let anyone other than Him dwell in their hearts. So, this is the kind of love. This love has to be in both ways. This is the kind of love the Almighty Allah loves to see in the servants. We'll elaborate on that more in the next episodes. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamidi.
Islamidi.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. IRIB English Radio. Youth Station's always here.
Yes. Wa alaikum assalam, sister. I am here as well.
Thank you for being here.
I am Asma.
And I am Beta, as always. We are at your service.
Once again, the doors of our home is open and we have another chance to discuss some beautiful, lovely things together
today,
here.
Today, I'm going to give you a story about myself. You know, once I travel abroad, you know, and I felt somehow I'm really alone among these strangers, these strange people around
yeah,
me.
That happens.
This different culture, this different even, I don't know, weather, climate, place, region, so on. And it felt like I'm insecure. I don't know, have you ever experienced the same thing as me or not?
So one of the things that makes us feel...